I'm going to read the first 14 verses now of 1 John chapter number 2. And my focus is going to be verses 9, 10, and 11. Powerful verses of truth. Hear now God's word. 1 John 2, verse 1 to verse 14. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Mm-hmm. Well, may the Lord bless again what you have just heard. It would not surprise me that you have heard or even used these two well-known expressions that I'm going to use as I begin to look at verses 9, 10, and 11. The first well-known expression is, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. The idea behind this expression being the truth that just because someone says something, usually about themselves, it often turns out not to be true. I'm able to do this. I'm able to do that. Talk is cheap. I'm able to do 50 push-ups. They get down and they can only do 5. And this is an expression that could be used to display the very thing John warns against. Trying to foolishly deny being guilty of, that is, hatred towards a fellow image bearer of God. But a second expression, very similar to this one, that most of you probably used, maybe not used, but at least have heard of, is put your money where your mouth is. Put your money where your mouth is. Again, the idea being if you really believe that what was coming out of your mouth was true, like some type of business deal, you would be willing to display the truth of what you were saying by actually using some of the fiat funny money of the corrupt Federal Reserve to show that you really believed it was a sure thing. Put your money where your mouth is. Now, John, the Apostle John, in the verses that I've reached here in 1 John chapter 2, does not use these expressions because they're contemporary to our day. But I think I'm correct in saying that he would know what they mean if he grew up in the United States or Canada. Why do I say this? Because he expresses the same thing concerning a much more important truth than whether or not some boaster can prove he is stronger than someone else, or someone saying something is a sure bet but not putting any money on it. What infinitely more important truth? Whether or not a person's profession of being a Christian is a reality, is true. Because how many in misnamed Christian America would be offended at your questioning their saying they were a Christian. Talk is cheap, friends. Even saying you are a Christian. But put your profession where John put such a profession and see if it passes muster, not mustard. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. What is John, or who is John referring to when he uses the term the light? He who says he is in the light. He that saith he is in the light. John is referring to those who verbally say they know the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I trust in Jesus. Praise the Lord if these statements are true. For a person can profess to being in the light, but John says if something is evident in their life, they're walking in darkness and not the light. In the words of Jesus at the end of Matthew 6, verse 23, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Friends, how deceitful and desperately wicked is the unregenerate human heart of man in that he can profess to be something he is not. Because he's not willing to bring what he says. Talk is cheap. Even cheap spiritual talk. To the illuminating light of God's written word, the Holy Bible. John is declaring that a person who claims to be in the light, the person who claims to be a Christian, but displays a revealing and sobering characteristic, he is not walking in the light of the saving revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's still in the darkness of unregeneracy. He's still dead in trespasses and sins. What's that characteristic, friends? We should be asking ourselves, what is that characteristic? Hating someone else. And friends, thank the Lord for the powerful imagery that John uses in these verses 9 to 11. Darkness and light. For if one is present, the other is not present. If you are in a room where there is the least bit of light present, in that room, total darkness is not present. Light and darkness cannot mix and do not mix. The presence of light casts out the darkness. For if there is the smallest amount of light in a room and your eyes are functioning properly, you will be able to detect your hand in front of your face after a period of time. But if true total darkness is present, where no light can enter in, say down in a coal mine and all the power is lost and every form of illumination is lost, all the batteries go dead on the headsets, and that it's totally dark, you could have your nose, you could poke yourself in the eye and you wouldn't be able to see the fingers poking you in the eye. John is giving a characteristic of the darkness of an unregenerate heart and a heart truly been given new life in Christ, and dare I say, light by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What is that one characteristic that reveals a person's profession of walking in the light, of being a follower of the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a spurious and a false one. Verse 9 again, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. See? Friends, how many? How many who profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are not? Because they harbor or have displayed hatred towards someone else, regardless of who that someone else is, and they have not repented of it. And cried out, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner, and fill me with that love that you alone can fill me with. For dare I say, One of the challenges of this one verse is to try and correctly determine who John is referring to when he uses the very common word brother in this one verse. For if you were to do a study of this very common word in the New Testament, you would find it refers to both those born out of the same womb, that is, natural brothers and sisters, for it's used in its feminine form in the New Testament. In the Greek, it is a compound word made up of two parts, and it could be translated of the same womb. So Jesus' natural born brothers and sisters were born of the same mother, Mary, despite what Rome says. And to many listening to the false teachings of Rome concerning her. Jesus was miraculously conceived in the womb of Mary, a virgin, but then she had more than one naturally conceived and born child through her undefiled marital relations with Joseph.
Right.
But the second major use of this word in its singular and plural forms is a reference to believers in Christ. Paul uses this word to refer to Timothy, Titus, and Epaphroditus as his brothers in Christ. So expressing hatred in whatever form against a brother or sister sharing the same natural generation or towards a true regenerate believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and claiming to be in the light, claiming to be a Christian, claiming to be a follower of the light of the world is spurious and a false one, friends. Lay hold of what John is saying here. Friends, claiming to be a Christian, yet displaying hatred towards someone naturally conceived like we all have been since Eve gave birth to Abel, or towards someone confessing to be a Christian, is showing you are walking in the darkness of unregeneracy and not the light of being a regenerate child of God. I ask you, could John be any clearer? Could John be any clearer? You can talk all you want about being in the light, of following the light, of being a Christian, of being a follower of Christ, but you manifest or display hatred towards another brother, whether he or she is still in Adam or a true regenerate child of God, then you're still walking in darkness of your own regenerate, hate-filled heart. Because what's the opposite of hatred, friends? Love. The opposite of hatred is love. And what does Jesus tell you to do with respect to even your enemies? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Not to earn acceptance with God, a true impossibility, but to demonstrate that you have been brought from the darkness of your own hate-filled heart into the amazing, forgiving love of God. Brethren, don't lose sight of what John is saying in this one verse. He is saying that a person who manifests or displays hatred towards another brother, as long as they continue to display that hatred towards another brother, whoever that other brother is, even if they say they are in the light or in darkness, even until now. Hatred and love cannot mix together, just like darkness and light cannot mix together. The one drives out the other. And unless they repent and forsake that display of hatred towards a fellow brother, regardless of who that other brother is, they are not giving evidence of being a true, reborn child of God. John is giving you a defining characteristic of someone who has truly been brought from death to new life in Christ by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. And what is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love. Hate's not in that list, friends. Love towards your fellow man, whether believer or non-believer. And friends, who powerfully shows you in the New Testament the truth of this reality? If I dare give you one man, Paul. Paul shows you that he was walking in darkness, as he tells his brother Timothy, hateful and hating one another. And how did he manifest that hatred? Towards wanting to persecute every and any believer he saw. He was walking in darkness. But when Paul was saved by the Lord on the Damascus Road, what did he never return to, friends? What did he never return to? The persecution of his brothers and sisters in Christ. He didn't have this false idea, well, I got Jesus as my Savior, but I'm not going to follow him as my Lord. I mean, I'll continue to persecute my brothers and sisters for a few more years, but when I'm tired of that persecution, I know I'm saved, then I'll give it up and I'll give the Lord the rest of my life. He didn't do that, friends. He gave up his persecuting ways. The moment he was saved by God on the Damascus Road, and he showed it, not only towards believers in Christ, but towards his fellow lost, his Jewish brethren who were lost by praying what? For their salvation. Even as they desire what? To kill him. He didn't respond with hate. He responded with love. He was burdened for them. He's cried out to them, Lord, have mercy on them. He showed that he had been brought from death to new life in Christ. He showed that he'd been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. How? He started loving all men. He was showing he was walking in the light. And as I said, what was his earnest prayer for his lost Jewish brethren? Who would have killed him if they could have? I mean, man, when 40 men joined together in bond and say, we'll nearly eat or drink until we kill Paul. Man, what a manifestation of hatred. They would have killed him if they could have. He loved them. How? By preaching the truth to them and wanting them to come to know Christ as he knew him. Verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. In these powerful words of John, in these three verses, you have further evidence of why I refuse to call the biblical and saving revelation of God a religion. For the saving gospel of God applied to the lost religious heart of man by the Holy Spirit saves that man from religion.
Right.
Because I ask you, friends, was Paul a religious man before he was saved on the Damascus Road? Was he a religious man? Read Philippians 3. He was the religious man's religious man, persecuting the church. He was filled with religious zeal to the point of persecuting believers. The religions of mankind fuel the hate-filled hearts of man towards other equally hate-filled, lost, religious hearts. Friends, do not call the Crusades Christian. That's a denial of these verses. And friends, an atheist is both correct and incorrect in his use of the word religion. He rightly declares that religion has been and continues to be the source of sobering displays of the fallen natural hatred of man towards his fellow man. I don't deny that in the least. An atheist is absolutely correct with respect to that. Religion is demonic.
Yes. Yes.
As the religious heart of man uses it and justifies their killing of others in the name of Allah, in the name of whoever, in the name of nationalism. Nationalism is a religion, friends. Mm-hmm. Loving your country more than the souls of men. That's idolatry. The atheist rightly declares that religion has been and continues to be the source of sobering displays of the fallen natural hatred of man towards his fellow man. But he's wrong. He's 100% wrong when he calls biblical Christianity a religion. Because biblical Christianity says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do good to them that hate you and despise you. Biblical Christianity is the saving message and power of God that delivers hate-filled religious men from their hate-filled religions. Something that the misnamed Christian West has not clearly displayed since the rise of the Antichrist Constantine in the 4th century. And who knows how much before or how soon after the rise of this Antichrist, one of the most dangerous practices to become accepted in bodies claiming to follow Christ. And I'm referring to infant baptism. Because what did many sprinkled pagans, thinking they were Christian, have no problem doing to those who believe the truth, believe and be baptized? They had no problem in killing them. That's the testimony of infant baptism, friends. We won't allow you to embrace your own personal conviction. You rebaptize yourself and we'll drown you in the river. He who says he's walking in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Mm-hmm. And how? I can't even answer this question, friends. How many on the fields of blood over the last 1700 years since Constantine have thought they were Christian because they were sprinkled as a baby, but clearly displayed they were not by displaying their hatred towards another brother by killing them on a battlefield because they were made to see them as no longer a fellow image bearer of God, but subhuman. Oh, that's the Hun. That's a gook. That's a towel head. That's an if. No, that's somebody who needs Christ.
Right.
I defy anyone to show me how you can display love towards a fellow brother or sister made in the image of God while firing an M16 or an AK-47 or dropping bombs on them from 10,000 feet or sitting in an air-conditioned room in Virginia targeting a drone on people who are just picking up sticks. But dare I make it ultra personal? In how many edifices this morning? In how many edifices this morning, dear friends, calling themselves churches, if I had a hate app on my phone, and simply mentioned the name of another person in the hearing of another person professing to be a believer in Christ, would that hate app go off? They are not abiding in the light. They are walking in darkness. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness of hatred, hath blinded his eyes. But friends, you don't need a hate app. You don't have to have a smartphone. You don't need a hate app on your phone to show you how spiritually revealing displaying hatred towards someone else is. All you need is these verses. That's all you need. All you need to do is read and take to heart the truth of what John is declaring in these verses. Friends, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap in this world because how many non-believers talk about the brotherhood of man? Ever heard that expression? The brotherhood of man. Until that brother does something they don't like.
Yeah.
Until that brother does something they don't like. Now, does this mean you endorse the evil or sin or error they are displaying if it is an evil or an error or sin? No. Absolutely wrong. No. But friends, road rage is not a display of walking in the light. How does a true believer show that they are abiding in the light of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? By seeking, by His enabling grace and mercy to respond to even those who hate you the same way Jesus responded to those who foolishly hated Him. He spoke the truth in love to them and asked His Father to forgive them from the cross.
Amen.
And yet, how many people dangerously and incorrectly call themselves Christian in this country and in how many churches in this country, they have no problem, absolutely no problem, supporting the ongoing killing and dismembering of people in other countries who have done them absolutely no harm. I ask you, what has a goat herder in Afghanistan done to you, friend? Absolutely
nothing.
Right.
But even if a person has done you harm, even if a person has done you harm, what example does the light of the world shine for you, brethren? Speak the truth in love and forgive them, hoping they will see their need of the light of the world, even as you were enabled to by the grace of God.
Amen.
As I said, this does not mean you endorse the evil and error of their ways. You expose the evil and error of their ways by declaring the truth to them. You show that you've been brought from darkness to light, not by returning the darkness of hatred towards you in some way by what you think about them, what you say about them or hope to do or to carry out against them. If your enemy is hungry, sanction him. That's the thing to do. That's the loving thing to do. If your enemy's hungry, let's sanction him. Is that what the scriptures say, friends? Your enemy is hungry. What are you supposed to do? Feed him. Somehow I don't think sanctions and feeding somebody are in the same vocabulary. But by seeking to love them even as Christ loved you when you were his enemy.
Yes.
When you were his enemy in your wicked thoughts, in your wicked words, in your wicked deeds.
Yes.
For while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And friends, as you know, I don't plan to be at particular verses at any point in time. I didn't plan to be at these particular verses the day before Memorial Day, the day before Remembrance Day, the day before, excuse me, my Canadian terminology, the day before Veterans Day. A day that was set aside what? To remember what? A war that was supposed to do what? End all wars. But friends, would that war and all subsequent and ongoing wars have been and still be fought if those saying they were Christian, even believing they were Christian, tested the profession of what was coming out of their mouths by what John declares in these three verses? He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brothers in darkness even till now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brothers in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Well, my commander-in-chief told me it's all right to kill my fellow man. Friends, the only commander-in-chief a true believer has is King Jesus.
Amen.
And until you can show me that my King has given me a command to kill my fellow brother or sister, be he in Adam or in Christ, I will seek by His amazing grace to love my enemies and my brothers and sisters in Christ. The general tells me it's all right to kill my fellow man because they speak a different language and look different than I do. The generals tell me it's all right to kill them over there, even though they need the gospel of forgiving love that I profess to believe. Brethren, the psalmist prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." One of those wicked ways is hatred towards someone else. Do you want the light of the words and perfect example of Jesus to expose any hidden hatred of your heart that you harbor towards anyone else? If the Holy Spirit was to bring back to your mind the name of someone who has offended you, the name of someone who has hurt you in some way, would He find you expressing forgiving love and prayer for that person, regardless of who he or she is, or unconfessed hatred? Are you walking in the light of who Jesus Christ is this morning by not harboring any hatred towards anyone else? Dare I say that John is pulling no punches? Profession of being a Christian, yet hating someone else is showing that that profession is false. How many false professing Christians are sitting in churches in America today because of the hatred they know and the Lord knows they are holding on towards someone else? May you not be one of them.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Amen.
Oh Lord, your word searches us out. May it continue to do so. And may there be no one in our hearts that we think of, even though they may have said something against us, done something against us, that we are not asking, O Lord, that you would have mercy upon them and we forgive them and that you would pour out your grace in their lives. Help us, O Lord, not to be those who simply say we are walking in the light, but we are those who are walking in the forgiving light of Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.